Good evening, everyone. It is Thursday, May 11th, and we are so honored to have Dr. Barbara Becker Holstein with us. She is a renowned psychologist, and it is going to be a very powerful evening. You are all going to feel so good about yourselves and so empowered by this evening that we're just so thrilled to have you on this call. We have muted you out. You can hear us, but we cannot hear you. Don't worry, you're going to get a lot of information tonight, but you don't have to worry about taking any notes. Dr. Barbara has prepared a wonderful pamphlet for you that I'm going to email to everyone after the call. So don't worry, just sit back and listen and really take in a lot of what she has to say.
And, you know, hi, this is Florrie. And Nancy and I gave great thought to what we wanted to do for all of our wonderful women customers and members of the Inner Circle for Mother's Day, because it is a day only for women. And as our gift to you, we thought, what better way than to have a wonderful guest who could help us to find ways to feel better about ourselves no matter what was happening. And we want you to look more attractive, and, you know, that's why SmartCover wants to kind of sponsor this kind of evening, because as you'll hear Dr. Barbara say, you need to look and feel beautiful from the inside out. And just as important is to listen tonight, because women, we've all said by nature, we're nurturers, and we know to give. Now it's our turn. For Mother's Day, our gift to you is learn how to take back for yourself. And you have the right person and the right professional to do it with, and that is Dr. Barbara.
And let me give you a little bit about her background. She received her doctorate in education from Boston University and her BA degree from Barnard College. She is a member of the American Psychological Association. She conducts many seminars, lectures, and workshops and appears frequently on radio and television. She is a noted author of The Enchanted Self, A Positive Therapy, and Recipes for Enchantment. The secret ingredient is you. She has a comprehensive website at www.enchantedself.com. We'll talk more about that later. She's also a guild member on www.psychjourney.com, where she teaches the 7 gateways to enchantment. She has a private practice in New Jersey, and her specialty is in positive psychology for women. And again, we are so honored to have Dr. Barbara with us. Good evening, Dr. Barbara.
Good evening. It's just so much fun. I'm so delighted to be with you. This is just a pleasure.
Oh, and I think that the women listening are going to find it even more of a pleasure because, you know, as we chatted with Dr. Barbara, she makes such good sense. And so, you know, just take it away.
Well, here I am with these lovely, lovely women and all of you out there. So I'll talk a little bit to introduce what I'm doing as a positive psychologist. My specialty is women. I have become convinced with 25 years of practice that we benefit from a positive psychology approach. That means recognizing what is right with us rather than what is wrong with us. Not that we ignore what is wrong, but that we honor and celebrate what is right. You know, when you go to see a psychologist or a counselor, you have a problem, but you haven't become the problem. You have still many talents and strengths and many resources to pull from. So at every stage of life, whether we're up or down, it's very, very important to celebrate ourselves and to understand how to access pleasure and well-being as a woman.
Let me ask you something, Dr. Barbara.
Yes.
I mean, as I'm listening to you, so many things come back to me. But did you ever have any personal experience that made you have such passion for this field and want to really become such an expert?
Actually, Florrie, I really did. When I was finished with my training and opened my practice, I realized that I was technically on top of the world with a wonderful husband and 2 children, lovely house, a cat, et cetera, nice vacation. But there was some pain. There was a hole in my heart. My needs were not being met, even though I truly enjoyed my clients. and my family, and I wondered, what is off? There's a beat off. There's something wrong. And intuitively, what I did was I went and interviewed women who were not in my practice, because obviously if you've come for help, you can't just take someone's time. But I interviewed a number of women not in my practice between the ages of about 18 and 80, and I discovered what ended up for me the secret to my own happiness and other women's. I discovered that the women I interviewed had plenty of capacities for pleasure, for joy, to know what's right for themselves, and to recognize their own talents, but that they didn't. Most of the time, they trivialized themselves, or they brushed off their own pleasure in order to meet someone else's needs, and that I had to pull from them what was really uniquely theirs in terms of a sense of well-being and happiness. Later, I called this the enchanted self, because I decided if we can give it a name, we can begin to give it an identity. And then I realized that's what's missing from me. You know, graduate school, all the stress that I was living under, and I wasn't going back into my own reservoir of what simply gave me pleasure. You know, I'm sort of a person who likes to take long walks and drift through a lot of space and time, and I don't like to be pushed. I tend to be a little late. And there were so many things about me that perhaps I had just cut out as negatives, but they're really they're my diamonds. They're what make me really rich. And so, yes, there was pain, and then later, pleasure.
That is, you know, that is so true. I think that, you know, we so often just won't really understand that. What did you say, that things about us that aren't, you know, competitive, you're not a great tennis player enough, that you have other things that are better for you?
That's right. A friend said to me, she was going through hard times, thank you to keep calling and seeing how I'm doing. And I said, you're welcome, but I'm good at that. It's the birthdays I forget. But, you know, we can't do everything. We've got to honor our talents and honor what works for each of us. We're harder on ourselves, usually, than even others are on, others who know and love us. And I know we got a lot of questions along the whole area of not putting ourselves first. So I want to talk about this again and again as we go through the seven gateways.
Well, I think, you know, it would be really good to go through some of the questions that people had emailed beforehand, right, Nance? Because some of these people may be listening, and I think they'd love to hear you answer the really specific questions.
Nancy, do you want to review a couple of these questions?
Well, why don't we go through the gateways first and then kind of come through.
Yeah. Fine. Well, I developed a very simple structure to help women live a life of pleasure and be much more in touch with bringing joy to ourselves and meeting our needs. And it's very simple. There are 7 points, and if you honor these points and you think about them, you will be living a very healthy, happy life. The first gateway is recognizing your own talents and strengths. If you're not going to recognize them, who is going to? I can tell you, usually not many people. We've got to be in touch with our own talents and strengths. And I don't mean by talent necessarily that you give a professional piano recital, although I know there's a woman on the program who's a great pianist. I mean that you have a talent. You're able to put together perhaps family life. You're able to put together a birthday party for somebody. You're able to hold a job. Many of your talents maybe are almost what we would call coping skills, but within them are tremendous abilities and a resiliency and a capacity to recover and to move ahead that really should be understood, let alone some real talents that you have from childhood that you may want to rebirth. If you loved a sport when you were a child, it may be time to see how you can reinvent yourself. If you can no longer take ballet lessons, perhaps you can be a walker now. Perhaps you can move your arms as you walk in beautiful, graceful ways. There's so many ways to reinvent ourselves. So tapping into our lost potential, looking back at positive memories about ourselves, and very often people will say, but I didn't really have pure positive memories because my parents were getting a divorce and this happened and that happened. And I say to them, this is like, don't worry about that, because this is looking for your talents so that you can begin to find special parts of yourself. It isn't the same as reworking your history, perhaps if you're in a therapy situation. It's actually looking at yourself the way you'd look at a friend if she were going to tell you what she was good at 10 or 11 or 12, so that you can help her find some interest now. And when we were talking before, we came up with the idea that it might be very nice, in order to practice the first gateway, to actually share with a friend some of what you think your talents and strengths are. Let her share likewise, and then maybe even help each other find more talents in each other, because it's often easier to see them in the other person. And I'd even keep a little list. So that's the first gateway.
Well, wait a minute. And when you talked about what I thought was really interesting in this, too, is when you said you have to go back in your memory, you have to use your memory to find something that you may have loved and have done well years ago. Is that what you mean?
Yes. Yes, very often we think our memories are where we go back and look for all the dysfunction, you know, and what went wrong. But you see, our memories are wonderful treasure chests of even lost potential. Okay, so your aunt Ruth told you were no good at something because you know, she was with you when she criticized you. But in reality, you knew as a 14-year-old girl that you could be good at it if you had had the right teacher or the right mentor. And so now, at 38, perhaps it's time to be good at whatever that was. Perhaps it was a musical instrument. Perhaps it's the way you relate to people, the way you handle animals. It could be a million things.
Even the way you cook, you know.
Oh, yes. Yes,
I mean,
absolutely.
After all, cooking is really a skill now. You know, it's an art.
Absolutely, and it's so much fun. And sometimes women come out of divorce and they realize, I'm really a good cook, or I'm really pretty, or I have a nice figure, or I love to take, I really love to take belly dancing, but the husband perhaps criticized along the way. As one of my clients, her husband said to her when she had a good idea, he said, well, that and 10 cents will get you a cup of coffee. So it crushed her. But years later, she went back and she developed that idea.
Well, I should think. So once we take away what's our little buzzword from that first gateway that people can think about? What?
Well, I think it's really self-recognition of our talents and our potential.
And what's right about ourselves rather than what's wrong. Oh. That's a really, I hope you're all listening out there, and you will get that, but it's just such an important thought to register.
And again, if you have just joined us, we want to welcome you to our teleseminar with Dr. Barbara. Don't worry, this is recorded. We will send you a recording and a written transcript, so don't worry about if you missed the first part of it. There is so much more to learn, so we're glad you've joined us, and enjoy the call. So we're on to the second gateway.
Yes. I call the second gateway falling in love with ourselves, and I mean it in this sense, that very often women trivialize their own lives, and they'll go back and they'll say, well, what's the story of my life worth, you know, so I had a rotten marriage, or I had a kid that went away and I haven't seen him in 4 years, or whatever, I don't get along with my mother, any of a number of negative things that may, indeed, some negative things, of course, happen. But what I'm encouraging you to do is find the narrative, the story to your life. Every life is interesting. Every life is an interesting story. It may have several themes. You may be the first person that finished high school or college in your family system. You may be the first woman that moved away from living very close to your relatives, and there may be all sorts of interesting ups and downs that happen living in a city on your own. You may be the first cancer survivor in your family that had an ordeal, but perhaps many things to talk and share about it. You may be the first person that had twins. You may be the first person that adopted a Chinese baby and all the ups and downs and fascinations of going over to get this little girl. Whatever it is, and of course your story keeps going, there may be some major themes that keep tying it together, that you keep coming, bouncing back. You're a survivor. You know, you're a person that takes something and makes something out of nothing. You're a person that can always find a solution. You're a person that can make a party really work. You know, everybody likes when you come to the party because you tell a good joke and you're humorous. It doesn't have to be that you were on TV getting an award. It's simply the aspects of your life that make your life interesting and make you very special, much more special than you're able to realize unless you start to study how to make yourself of value to yourself. And because I'm a psychologist, I have found certain ways that help people find their own value, and I teach it. So it's, you know, it's something you may not have thought of doing, but it really works. You can keep a journal on your own life. You can tell your stories when you're with friends and relatives. You can do art. You can find pictures and poetry that tell your story, or write a song. It can be totally private. No one may ever see it except you. But think of yourself within this, that you're a heroine. You are the heroine of this particular life, and it's fascinating.
Right. So no matter how many, you know, negative things may have happened to you, don't let that just bog you down or overwhelm you, because there is also things of accomplishment and importance that may have happened as well, right?
And it's okay to share them and feel good about sharing them and to let people know. I think it's...
That's right. And sometimes they're just hilariously funny and show up some of your foibles and your own little stuff, little shtick, but that's fun too. And people like to know you. You know, sometimes I find women hide. They're so self-conscious. They don't think anyone will like them. I always like my clients so much as I get to know them. They're interesting. And they just have extraordinary things that they're good at. I don't know how to do half the stuff my clients know how to do. I've had clients who know how to handle beautiful gardens, and I always tell them, you know, I say, when I get a plant, I always say to the plant, I'm so sorry you had to come here to die, but, you know, so I'll be good to you until that happens, you know. And other people, they just do extraordinary things with their sisterhoods and their politics and sewing, crocheting the baby outfit and the church work, and they're coming to me for a problem. Okay, they have a problem, but they're so talented.
But don't you find, Dr. Barbara, I have found that people really do not want to hear about a lot of your personal problems, that people kind of do, you know, are looking, they're not looking to share unless, of course, you're good friends, but I've just found people don't want to hear problems. And I find that that you just can't look like life, and that's what you're saying now is really good, because you can't look like life was just one big, you know, horror show or one big difficult,
yes.
You know, step after step. You've got to, people just don't want to hear that.
Well, it's partly because of their own anxieties. They can't handle the pain. And I think it's partly because we look to others to brighten our days, and we really need to get from each other the benefit of our smiles, and we're all crying inside in some little spot in ourselves, and, you know, we don't necessarily need it reinforced at every moment by someone else. We need their bright eyes. We need their smile. We need them to tell us some good news and something fun that they're doing. And you're right. You're absolutely right. My father used to always say that, you know, he remembers he'd walk down the street and someone would say, "Hello, Harry, how are you?" And, you know, once or twice he really told the truth. And then the person would say, "Great, great, great." You know.
Yes.
Mm-hmm, right.
So we all learn. But that doesn't mean we can't be authentic. We bring the best of ourselves as best we can, and then with intimate relationships and dear friends, when it's appropriate, we share the pain.
That's,
I think that's
very,
kind
very
of the
well
general
put.
Rule.
Very well put. Oh, so that was Gateway 2.
Yes. Now, okay. Gateway 3 is learning to meet our needs and learning to speak up for ourselves. Plain and simple, there are real issues for women that we tend to be timid and passive. We tend to back down too quickly. We tend to say, "Well, oh, maybe," or, "Oh, it's okay. Okay, let's go with your idea." Or, "I'm not sure. I just thought I happened to have this great idea, but maybe it's not so great."
How many women say, "I'm sorry" all the time?
Right.
Just out of the speech of habit. You know, "I'm sorry about this. I'm sorry
yep.
about that."
Yep. So what happens is that we just let ourselves almost get like whitewashed. We just aren't there. While we've got to speak up for ourselves. And let me just say that when we don't speak up and we don't take care of our own needs, we very often become chronically anxious and depressed. Now, we're not discussing at the real mental health level in this program tonight, but there are really negative effects if we don't take care of our own needs. We need to know, you know, what we need. If you recognize your talents, so, and you now see that you would be much happier if you could upgrade your job. Well, if the fairy godmother could come and that would take care of it, great. But the fairy godmother doesn't necessarily come. So you've got to be able to have the courage to get down to the community college tomorrow or get a vocational brochure or look for a mentor or find out what you need to do in order to upgrade your skills and move ahead. It really takes work. There's nothing wrong with work. We are just as bright and able to do work as men are, as we all know. There's nothing wrong. The problem is that a lot of women get so intimidated and so sort of overwhelmed that they back off, and then they don't do what they need to do for their own, to meet their own needs, and then they get discouraged. My attitude is part of happiness is hard work, but it takes just as much work to feel miserable, so why not? Let's go for the happiness. And hard work is really in the third gateway. This is where you have to get your education, whatever it is. This is where you may have to have better skills in socializing if you're trying to date, you know, find a partner. This is where you may have to learn how to talk to your children in a softer way or a kinder way or whatever. This is where you may have to go to the doctor for that awful test you don't want to do, you know, because you're taking care of your needs. And we can't avoid this big gateway. If we avoid it, we don't move forward.
I think that this is probably the most important one, you know, because this is really discovering yourself, you know, and you can't It's okay. I mean, it's okay to get angry too, isn't it? You don't have to be. If someone does something that you don't think is right. Is that what you mean, Barbara?
It's wonderful to get angry, because if you get angry and you can express it appropriately, you won't get depressed. Anyone who's been depressed knows they don't want to ever go there again. This anger is a much more satisfactory, reactive mode, and it's appropriate. The only thing with anger is that if you have anger issues where you may have impulsive anger that might get you in trouble, sometimes you have to learn certain techniques to sit with your feelings a while so that you react appropriately.
Yes, yes, I can understand that. But this seems to be really important.
It
gateway. Is. Do you feel it's a crucial one? Nancy, don't you?
Because I think a lot of people can express that anger and just to be able, or even just to be honest with themselves and with other people. I think it's something they really have to work at. And this is, you know, these are wonderful ways to learn how to do it. Thank you.
And if you get through this gateway, and of course we don't do the gateways like going to school. It's not like first grade, second grade, third grade. We're doing the gateways in tiny bits and pieces the rest of our lives. So don't worry. It's not like you're climbing a mountain. You might think of a talent of yours or a memory when you're in your car for a minute that you were good in swimming in Girl Scout camp. So you did it for a minute. It doesn't mean you like some formal thing is happening. These are all cues and pointers that you're going to take every day. Gateway 4 is your gift. This is your gift to yourself, and this ties into a lot of the questions. We'll get back to them. This is the gateway of replenishment, of joy, of having fun, of permission to yourself to be happy. And many, many women say, well, oh, very well and good, but I am not only a pleaser, but I have tremendous responsibilities, and I'm giving, and I'm giving, and I'm giving. And one of the analogies that I'll use with a woman is I'll say, if you were a car, could you run with no gas? And the woman will usually chuckle and say, of course not. Then I'll say, well, what makes you think that you can run on an empty tank? What makes you think as a human being where you're a body and a mind and a spirit and you're very complex, that you could possibly run and service everybody and get everybody where they need to go and never without and not break down, and yet nobody, including yourself, puts any gas in your tank? It doesn't make any sense. If for no other reason than to continue to be a giver and a good person, we need to replenish ourselves, even if we weren't even thinking of ourselves. If you just think of your body and your mind as instruments, you've got to replenish and have joy and happiness.
What is kind of some of the ways you tell women to replenish themselves? Because I think they'd like to hear some suggestions.
Well, I usually tell women to start small. You know, I mean, it's wonderful if you have an opportunity to go to the Canyon Ranch or something, but realistically, for most women with busy schedules, I ask them to look for some ways that they have enjoyment and would have more enjoyment in life. For some people, you know, people come up with ideas. Like one woman might say, well, if I could take 20 minutes to read the newspaper before I have to make supper, that's restorative to me. I just hate to go in that kitchen and just be flooded, you know, to have to get going with the cooking. So then we might work on how she can build her daily schedule so she has those 20 or 30 minutes before she starts to cook. Other women really need to release their bodies. They feel so, it's almost like we're wearing girdles, even though most of us don't anymore. You know, we just feel so, like, boxed in, can hardly breathe sometimes. And sometimes it turns out that if a woman can just get a walk, or maybe something more specific that she's loved, like let's say she loved belly dancing and did it once or twice as a teenager, and, you know, now she's afraid to show her belly and, you know, the whole thing. But if we can get past all that, mm-hmm. and she starts to belly dance, it's just so relaxing and fills her up again.
That's like when I play my tennis. I just feel very rejuvenated, and I feel great, and I know I've done whatever that hour is for myself, and then I'm ready to go back to work again. But I just feel that that's my release, and I just get so much pleasure out of it.
And, you know, it's so funny because when you mentioned at this point in my life, one of the things that I just love is to have a cup of coffee in the morning and read my paper. I mean, I like the Times because it's comprehensive, but that is a replenishment, helps me start my day. And you just brought that back to me when you said that. There can be habits. There can be, you know, simple little things like that can do it, you know?
Right. And it can be also releasing yourself, giving yourself permission. For example, some women love color. Most of us love color. But sometimes we've inhibited the use of color for whatever reasons. Someone told us our skin tone doesn't go with blue or whatever it is. Sometimes something as simple as permitting myself to go back to the colors I really love. And they say that's really good for you. There's a whole psychology of color. But, for example, to go shopping and pick a scarf in exactly the colors that I like and wear it.
How do you replenish yourself? I mean, you have such a busy schedule, if you don't mind my asking.
Well, I do a lot of things. I walk quite a bit when I can by the ocean. We live near the ocean. And I enjoy my friends, and I do a lot of private journaling, some of which has ended up in my books, particularly my second book, Recipes for Enchantment, The Secret Ingredient is You, has within it many little stories, and I get all excited over things, and then I'll take notes on them. And then sometimes those things turn around, and they work for me as a product later to teach others, but it started as me recognizing my own passion. I love to be an observer of little miracles in life. Just, you know, yesterday and today, I was writing down miracles as I heard them on TV in the morning, having my leisurely breakfast with all my accoutrements of cottage cheese and the things I like to eat. There were a couple of wonderful miracles. One was, maybe a lot of the listeners heard the one the other day about the little girl who died of cancer, but for years she was making lemons into lemonade. She had these lemonade stands. Mm-hmm. And she herself, I think, earned about $1 million, and then her family and her brothers and their parents have earned, I think, $6 million more, and now there's lemonade stands all over the country. And she's such an example of, you know, how she handled something that was catastrophic, how her parents handled the grief. And, you know, I get, like, filled up when I hear something like that. So there are many different levels that I will use to bring pleasure into my life. And I like to get a massage. I like to, you know, of course, spend time with my husband, go to movies and all sorts of things that I just let myself do. You have to let yourself do things.
That's a good thing to remember. Got that, Nance?
Mm-hmm. And it's okay. It's okay to do that and take time for yourself. It's okay. And now to Gateway 5?
Yes, Gateway 5 is so important for women. It's really the gateway of belonging. And in this gateway, I would, since we don't have an abundance of time, I'll just mention, of course, belonging in a community way, to a synagogue, a church, living in a town that makes you comfortable, etc. But on the more personal level for women, having friendships with other women. We get so much from our friendships. And even in a beautiful marriage, very often men and women think differently and behave differently, and we don't get nurtured in certain ways that we yearn for, such as, I guess it's a kind of motherly love, you know, it's a kind of affection that women are able to give to each other that we need. We need it our whole lives. So treasure your friendships and encourage them. And I think for a woman that's busy, perhaps the way to handle this gateway is plan ahead even a month or two when you're no longer teaching school, or you're no longer, you know, you're getting your vacation from your computer programming job, whatever you're doing. Plan ahead and make a couple of dates with your girlfriends so you'll have it. You won't just forget it.
Well,
and I know for someone like myself, very often I have to intentionally make a date with a girlfriend because since I'm working, I'm not in enough circles that always lunch just comes up automatically or anything. So there's nothing wrong with scheduling your friendship and making sure that it happens.
I know that, you know, Dr. Barbara, that this rings home for me because, you know, when I was starting my business, had two children, husband, everything, it was like there just was no time. I mean, I had to take the priorities, and that's the other thing I think we tend to do. And I really missed it. I didn't know how much until after, of course, they left home, and there was a lot more time, and the business was bigger, and I had people to do things for me, and I began to form friendships. And at this point in my life, when I'm not that, you know, worried about the business and what have you, I absolutely find it so enriching. I mean, one of the great things I think about women friendships, and it reinforces what you say, is that we can admit to faults.
Mm-hmm.
We can admit to not being perfect. Men have a hard time doing this. They can't say, oh, I really did screw up or whatever. They just, where we can do this, we can share our weaknesses with each other. And that is a strength. And I've
That's
certainly
beautiful.
Discovered it. Better late than never. I love
yes.
it.
Yes, absolutely. You said it beautifully. And let's just keep being friends because it constantly works for us as women. I'd like to just jump briefly to the sixth gateway, which ties in the sense of sharing our wisdom and mentoring each other. Women tend to trivialize what we know and our own genius. We seem to lack confidence in what we have to share, so that very often we don't realize that we really are mentors and have wisdom to give to others. We may give wisdom and mentoring successfully to our 4-year-old or our 14-year-old because we know we have to and so forth, but it never stops. We just always have something we've seen, a perception, an idea, and we should look to offer the world our particular, unique slant on life and be helpful to others. So, and also to go for mentoring. So many of the women I see in my practice, they are so talented and they're so bright. They don't know where to start to be mentored. And, you know, there aren't a lot of women mentors out there helping other women as to be mentored. There, you can pay for something called coaching and mentoring, and that's fine. That's a whole subspecialty in the line of the whole hierarchy of counseling and psychotherapy. But, for example, I was so excited that I was getting to meet Flory because Flory is, to me, an example of a woman who has built a successful career that's doing good for others. And there must be so much you know, Flory, just so much that you had to go through and process and understand about the business world and to know when to hire people and when to fire them and when to bring a product out. And
it was especially a challenge when you're learning on the job. But
yes.
I have to say, you know, that with all, and I think this is something I constantly hear from younger women, and it is this with all the challenges and the excitement and the, you know, passion of building a business or a great job or a great career, they want more balance in their life. And I think when we mentor, we have to, and I find that this is always very well received, is that we have to help give them ways where they can find the balance with family, with children. You know, this is one of the greatest experiences of your life, if you're fortunate enough to have it. So somewhere, I think those of us who, by, you know, working at it, living it, doing it, it's very important for us to share it with those women coming after us, because it is a constant challenge. It is, you always feel you're not doing enough. You always feel that you're not in the right place at the right time. You just always never feel it's enough. And it is enough. And I think that in mentoring, Barbara, it's not, yeah, it's the career, and it's all that I've been through, for instance, in being an entrepreneur when it was not the buzzword, but it's also how to have achieved balance in my life so that at this point I have these wonderful children and grandchildren to share with. And well, I think you can mentor mm-hmm. them just as well. We talked about that earlier.
Absolutely. So you see, what you're offering to women is, I'm sure you would also help with the practicalities if someone were in business and sought you out for advice. But what you're saying is even beyond that, the wisdom perspective that you're offering other women to keep their lives in balance and not feel that you have to be like in a total race. I know for me this comes up again and again because I am eager to get my books into women's hands, and I've now developed these Enchanted Self necklaces that I'm so eager to have women wear so they can feel reassured about their specialness and also have something beautiful on at the same time.
Nancy and I are wearing ours tonight.
I was going to say how many times I've been playing and touching it this evening because there has so many symbols on these about our Enchanted Self.
Yes, they really are full. That has a beautiful heart, usually in a blown glass heart, one-of-a-kind heart, and then there's the spiral in sterling silver. That's our energy force, the ups and downs, and all the roundabouts that we go, but we're always circling back to different emotions and people and so forth. And then most of the necklaces have an ES on them for Enchanted Self, so you can remind yourself. You know, and this necklace has become very important to me because I want women to have a symbol that's something they can take with them and remind themselves, because we tend to forget and that we're special and we just sort of fall off our own bandwagons. But referencing it back to Gateway 6, sometimes, you know, like I'll be all in a lather. I'll say to myself, oh, I have to try to sell them here, and I have to try to sell them there, and I have to hook up with this website, and I have to meet this person, and, you know, and all of a sudden, I'll just say to myself, now wait, this is something beautiful, this is something right, and if you wreck yourself, you're not even doing your own work, so you have to just, like, turn off that computer and go to bed for tonight and be in a flow that's going to have energy. The energy will come, and the necklaces will meet women. Women will meet them.
And, you know, I think with Smart Cover, Dr. Barbara, we also, in developing this, it's not an ordinary makeup. You know, Nancy and I, sure, we want our, you know, we want, certainly to get more members of our inner circle, we want to grow, but we really have felt this same feeling that there's more of a dedication to helping, to doing the things the big companies don't want to do. They don't want to work with people like Diane, you know, particularly mm-hmm. who has a birthmark, or someone who has, you know, lupus or some of the other things, or someone who just has terrible dark circles, you know, that had run in the family, even though she's 15. So I think we share that feeling of wanting to, you know, do good while we're building a good business,
right.
You know?
I think that that's so important to emphasize. And when a woman finds her passion, whether it's baking cookies in a special way that the kids in a particular grammar school can't wait till Mrs. So-and-so comes in with her cookies, whatever it is, there is a feeling of authenticity and integrity. And if we can hold on to that and not worry, you know, whether, get frantic, whether we're meeting other people's demands and expectations, then it's worth it. If I can help one woman feel less despairing about herself and hug herself and say, I am a special person, I'm really proud of who I am and what I'm doing, then, you know, I'm in heaven. This is my passion.
Right, and that bleeds you right into Gateway 7, because
yes.
I want to make sure we get to that.
Yes.
Time flies so fast.
I know.
Do you believe this?
I know.
Where we are. So Gateway 7.
Gateway 7 is above all, no matter what's happening to you, and I know it's hard, very hard, but above all, if you can do a good deed or take a positive action, you'll be helping yourself and you'll be helping the world. We know through research in psychology that when we smile, when we do a good deed, when we take food over to someone who needs food, when we do charity, all these motions that are positive motions increase the positive neurological whatever they are in our own brains, and they help. This is documented stuff. But we also know that every time somebody does something that's good, it makes a difference in the world, whether it's a kid. You know, I think when we had the hurricanes, I think a child started the whole thing with backpacks for all the kids who had been lost their schools, and eventually thousands and thousands of full backpacks were sent down south. One kid thought of that. And look at the ripple effect. So whether it's saving trees or bringing a bowl of soup to a neighbor who just had a root canal, no matter what it is, not that I can guarantee your life will shift at the moment, but I can guarantee that you're on the right path and that over the long haul, you will be more optimistic, you will have more happy sensations in your mind and body rather than feeling down, and you'll have friends, you know, you'll connect as you do these things, you will see that you'll develop certain talents. Some people want to cook some sort of shelter, and some people want to collect money, and some people want to help with a special tennis day that gets money for poor, you know, a child who needs a certain kind of operation, whatever it is. It doesn't have to be what someone else is doing. It's the effect of good action. And, of course, in your personal lives, if, say, we don't call our kids stupid and we take the time to think through what I want to say to Johnny, even though I'm very upset with him today, that's going to have a positive effect on another human being that you really care about. So no matter where we place it within our lives, this is a fallback gateway that is as old and even older than the Bible that is very important.
And you can meet a lot of people this way, too. You know, I have found sometimes, you know, people when they face aging and they're into retirement and, you know, they kind of feel disconnected, they, you know, by joining, you know, some charitable causes mm-hmm. or political groups or what have you, you become reconnected in another way.
Absolutely. And don't forget positive action for yourself. You know, you want to buy that special makeup, or you want to get your hair cut a special way, or you think it's time for color to cover. Everything that you teach is a positive action also. It's not just at the charity level. It's the whole spread from taking care of ourselves and helping.
It's okay to look good, right?
Absolutely. It's important.
as we say, the beauty from the inside in and from the outside, inside out and the outside in. But I do want to, I know, Dr. Barbara, you've answered within your talking about the gateways many questions that were sent to you. There are a few extra that I'd like to, you know, to ask, and perhaps we have a few more minutes
sure.
to go over it. Erica says, I want to know why do I repeatedly put everybody's needs before my own, and why do I keep putting myself in situations that I know are already bad from the jump? I know you touched upon it before, but if there's anything else you wanted to share with
yes.
Erica.
Well, as far as everyone's needs, this is often one of the wonderful talents we have as women, and I think I shared with you how if we're going to do this, we must take care of ourselves, too, or we're going to run on empty and not be well. So I think I handled that part. The other part is a very interesting question, because the truth is we all have repetitive behaviors. Not all those behaviors are good for us. So sometimes we're drawn to bad settings or the wrong, you know, how women will marry the same guy, but he's just 2 inches shorter or taller this time. You know, we have a tendency to go back to old behaviors. So I don't know, Erica, what exactly you're referring to, but if you can monitor yourself, you may be able to simply break it by interrupting yourself sooner and saying, am I going back to that group of people that always makes me feel uncomfortable, and why am I doing it? On the other hand, if you really find that you can't avoid the poison well one more time, you're drawn to it, I would say this is a perfect example where good psychotherapy can really help, because we as psychologists specialize, one of our specialties is helping people break repetitive patterns that are not in their best interest.
Now, just to move on to, thank you, Paula has asked, why do I feel like crying at the drop of a hat? There seems to be no legitimate reason for this, but I can't stop or deny the feeling. Am I going through a change? I hate this emotion. Can you help me, please?
Okay. Well, Paula, without knowing more, I'm not sure, but I'm going to give you two perspectives. One is that you might indeed be going through some changes. And if you're in your 40s or even late 30s into your very early 50s, you might well be having a shift in hormones that can create tears, just like a girl, say, of 15 the day before her period may cry for 3 hours, and the next day she's bouncing around and having a ball. So I would suggest if you are in that age range that a good gynecologist do a hormone profile for you, and you answer that medically in part. The other thing is that it may well be that you're sitting on some unresolved grief or some sadness that hasn't been worked out where you could benefit from psychotherapy. And don't deny yourself. There's nothing to be ashamed of, to get help to talk about it. Sometimes we lose someone or we move, we feel empty, and we just need to process it with a professional. Now, in between those two different points, it's just possible that the type of things I write about in my books could be very helpful to you. You know, like in my little book, Recipes for Enchantment, the secret ingredient is you. At the end of each story, there's an exercise for you to do to help you recognize some of your talents, to help you plan ahead, to help you build in some good times for yourself. You might just need a little jolt, you know, that little extra bounce, someone pushing you a little bit. So that's the range.
Oh, wonderful advice. Juanita asked, I'm always so drained. I feel so tired, have gone to the doctor and nothing is wrong. What could it be?
Well, again, that has two different ends. It may be that emotionally you're very, very depleted in a way that the doctor wouldn't recognize, and you may need some counseling or psychotherapy, you know, to really get at some of this and get some real energies released again. That's one possibility. On the other hand, it may be that your tank is just kind of empty, you know, that you've been leading a very, very busy life, maybe shortchanging yourself on sleep a little bit, maybe on foods a little bit, what's really healthy for you, maybe on exercise a little bit, maybe not enough private time with your husband, if there's a husband, you know, so the pleasure is kind of at a low point, in the sexual ballpark, which is also an important dimension for women. So, you know, it might be that there's just a whole hodgepodge of little areas in your life that went where the gas tank is pretty low, and that if you can attend to some of these areas, you will find you're less fatigued. If you're not really sick medically and you start to build to walking an hour a day, again, the research shows that a lot of positive hormones and things are released in your brain. So, you know, there are many ways to play with this. I wish you good luck. And, you know, I would just add as the last thing, I've had clients where doctors have told them they're fine, and sometimes they still need to have a more detailed medical analysis. So, again, I don't know you. You know you. Take care of yourself. If intuitively you think you need even more medical, you know, help, go for that, too.
Thank you.
Well, I think it's just wonderful the way you are able to, I think, give some guidance to, you know, to our inner circle members, because it may help them find new ways to have better lives, and I think that's what it's all about, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, there is just so much to enjoy every day, and you know, I do, I know that I love, this was a great Mother's Day gift for me to hear you, and Nancy, how do you feel? I mean, it was a great evening.
It was, no, and I think that you've shared so much with us, and in fact, I know that we were talking about the necklaces, and I'm wearing the rose one right now, and I know you are generously giving $3, right, to the American Cancer Society for that. And I just think there's a lot of take-home value this evening. Like I mentioned to all of you out there, we are going to be sending to you the 7 gateways. We will be emailing it to you. You can also go to Dr. Barbara's website, which is the www.enchantedself.com, and you can find more information there of what she talked about tonight. And we will definitely be, as I said, be sending you the written transcript and the audio. And so,
and remember, she said it, and it's true, and it's what we want to also give you for Mother's Day, is the right to look and feel beautiful. It's really okay. I mean, we all make personal choices about different options, but when you look in the mirror, you should just be pleased. You don't have to be gorgeous, and that's, you know, that's really Smart Cover's mission, is kind of to help you see the best possible face in that mirror, and whatever your age. And I think that that's really important for all of you out there for Mother's Day, is that the best is always yet to be. Right, Nance?
That's right. And Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein, will you come back again to us?
Oh, I would love to. I've enjoyed this so much. Thank you so much.
And I hope we've answered many of your questions. And, again, we will be in touch with you. Have a wonderful Mother's Day. And we'll see you again soon in our next teleseminar.
And as always, we sign off with love from Flory.
And Nancy.
And wish you a perfect day.
Bye-bye.